Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, today you get Sammy and Scraby. Chris calling the Aztecs women's basketball game up at UC Davis. Actually, it just started right now. I'll check in on the score in a little bit. Tony is taking his first day off since the Padres season ended. So it's been a fun show with Sam and myself. We've talked about a lot. We've talked about Ruben Niebla. We'll talk about him in just a second. We've talked about some of the free agency things that are going on around baseball. We've talked about Aaron Boone. We've talked about a ton today. So we're going to give you the best news that we have so far today in just a second. The 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Friday for half-priced apps and $2 off of all tall drafts.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Who did the Jets play this week? Let's see.
I think they have
Cardinals. Arizona.
In Arizona?
Yes. And then the Colts. Winnable games.
The Colts. Okay, let me ask you this. Since we're going to talk football, what did you think about Anthony Richardson tapping his helmet?
Yeah, not a great look.
Here's my take.
Scraby, you can't come out of the game.
If you want
to say, hey, because he had two runs before that, right? Or like two or three runs, that was the premise?
Yes.
If you want to say, hey, you know, we got to, I can't run, fine. You cannot tap out as a quarterback because you're gassed.
I get it. I mean, I totally
get it.
He's
also like, what, 23?
He's 22. He's 21 coming up on 22.
He can't.
But here's the thing. Instead of everyone just crushing him for this, why isn't a coach pull him aside before he goes up to the podium in the postgame?
That's a good point.
And say, when they ask you about tapping your helmet and coming out, lie.
Yeah.
Don't tell everyone that you were tired. And he said it like it was going to be cool. Like everybody was going to understand. I just feel bad coming down on a guy who's so young like that. And no one has really kind of shown him the ropes.
I don't know why you would be honest in that situation.
We always crush athletes for not being honest.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't tap out.
I don't feel. I mean, it was a bad thing. It was a bad look. But I don't feel like he should have gotten the hate that he did. He got a lot of hate. I mean, he plays for the Colts. The Colts are a poorly run organization.
He got benched.
He got benched, which he probably should have gotten benched. He wasn't playing great, and I just think that you're ruining that guy's confidence by letting him hang out there to dry when everybody's throwing insults your way. But he seems to have a good outlook on the whole thing. So I hope that he figures that one out. What did you think about DJ Moore? Did you see that? Wide receivers for the Bears. He walked off the field during a play where it was still going on. The Bears have had some issues lately. With the Hail Mary against the Commanders, where Stevenson, the safety or corner, was talking to the crowd, and then he tipped it to the guy in the back of the end zone. And then last week, it was DJ Moore walking off the field, and then the media asked him, hey, You realize that's a bad look, right? Because he said he hurt his ankle and then his momentum took him out of bounds and he just kept walking towards the bench is what he said. But you realize it's a bad look. And he goes, you guys are going to say what you got to say. So the Bears have problems and I don't know how you get that back under control. I don't. Talk about your team, the Jets.
The Jets, what about them?
They're out of control, man.
3-6, I mean.
3-6. Oh, man, Aaron Rodgers controls everything.
Same old Jets. I mean,
growing up,
I was not a big anything fan except for baseball growing up. So I did not live and die with the Jets.
Okay.
Or the Knicks. But yeah, I mean, it's I do watch them now, and I was excited last year, and obviously that was. With the Rodgers injury, that was dissipated very quickly. And it's just, you know, I will say this. I was wrong about, I did not mind the firing of Saleh. I wasn't a huge fan. His record with the team was not very good. Like, I didn't really understand what he brought. He was obviously a defensive guy, but like, you know, anyway. So I didn't mind it because I kind of felt like, hey, you've got a really good roster here and it's worth just trying to shake it up and see if you can salvage the rest of this season. I will say, I think I was wrong though, because the defense with Ulbricht now in this head coaching spot, the defense is a huge problem. They've taken a major step back.
Well, the defensive coordinator now has to be a head coach. Good.
So I will say, I think it was a mistake to basically disrupt this defense and weaken this defense. However that's happened, man, I view it as, you know what? You probably would have been better off just keeping things intact. You should have either fired Saleh at the start before the season or at the end of the season, but you know, disrupting your defense, which had been pretty good and should be good based on the personnel, I actually think it was a mistake. Now, at the time, I didn't see it, but seeing now the result, yeah, I think it was a mistake.
I think it's a mistake to fire any coach in the middle of a season. I think,
and it rarely works.
It never works.
Well, sometimes there's a little bump from it.
For like a couple weeks.
Right, but you're also, I mean, that was early. I mean, what was it, week six?
Yeah, six or seven, something like that.
You're asking for a lot, and it's not like you had some guy waiting in the wings who has this wealth of head coaching experience. I mean, you promoted a guy who's never done it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a whole different world. Like, when I worked with the former NFL player, he was trying to explain to me, like, when you're the head coach, when you're the defensive coordinator, you have one thing to worry about. When you're the head coach, you have about 20 things to worry about. And then when you're the head coach and the defensive coordinator, you have, like, basically your mind is just constantly going. You don't have time. You don't have really time to think, should I call a timeout here? You know, these are all things that people don't understand about those positions. It's just not easy to just be put in that position.
We can wrap this conversation up, but
you good with that, producer?
My biggest issue with Saleh was actually that every time they panned to him on the sideline, he just was never doing anything.
He did look, his body language was terrible.
It's not like he was an offensive play caller. He was not.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
He was not the defensive play caller either. He just like wasn't, he was just kind of standing there staring or cheering or
he's
looking
motivated.
Mad. No, but he's just not doing anything. I want to see you do something.
You want to see him like calling plays or something
anything.
Like that.
I just wasn't doing anything. He was just like staring into the abyss.
I think that
it bothered me.
I
was wrong. They shouldn't have fired him. I was wrong.
I think he knew once Aaron Rodgers came to the team that his time was limited. Because Aaron Rodgers will control, even though Woody Johnson didn't.
Yeah, but had they got off to a much better start, I mean,
he would still be here.
Of course.
I just think it's weird when you fire a coach, and especially like Antonio Pierce for the Raiders. I've said this a million times. Whenever the head coach fires the coordinators, it's just such a cop out for me, because you're the head coach. You're ultimately the guy who answers. So why aren't you firing yourself, bro?
No, it never happens.
I know. All right, baseball news. Ruben Niebla, pitching coach for the Padres. A new multi-year contract for him has been finalized. He is going to be back with the Padres. We talked about it earlier. Sam thinks it's a big deal.
Yeah, look, I'm not surprised based on the job that Ruben's done. And I think his feelings about being in San Diego and what we heard from AJ Preller last week during the, or I should say earlier this week during the Mike Schilt press conference. I don't think it's any big surprise. I think if the Padres and Ruben Niebla weren't able to work out a new deal, I think he would be extremely highly sought after. He's done an outstanding job, and guys love him. I mean, talk to anybody on this pitching staff, anybody that's come over via trade or free agency. I mean, every pitcher I've spoken to in that club speak extremely, extremely highly of Ruben Niebla. I think his reputation throughout baseball is really, really respected. So it's great. I mean, it's what should have happened, and it's good to have him here for a while longer. And obviously, I think both sides really enjoy having each other. So it's great. I love the continuity of having Victor Rodriguez and Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla and presumably most of, if not all, this staff back in 2025. They won 93 games last year. Yeah. I mean, this staff deserves to come back the way it was, and you win 93 games and you have one of the better seasons in franchise history, you deserve to come back and get extensions and do whatever you have to do with those deals. So yeah, it's great. I mean, he's been outstanding, and I think a big part of this team and this organization.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Schilt came in. I said this the other day. I think it was really important for him getting the job that he was already in the organization, kind of behind the scenes. He was in the shadows for a couple of years, and he got to learn all about the way they do things. He got to learn about AJ Preller and the way he does things. He got to learn about the players. I think that's a huge part of it, because we've heard in the past the rumors that AJ Preller and the manager may butt heads at times, but it didn't seem like that was a case at all last year.
Yeah, they seemed, that it was a word that was used even before the year started, they seemed very aligned.
And
aligned,
it seemed, yes.
Aligned, a good alignment. So you hope it continues. AJ did a terrific job last year. We talked about it earlier. I think he's going to have to do a similar type of job this year and hit on a lot of different things successfully for this team to maybe have the degree of success they had in 2024. So, yeah, it's important to have alignment and feel good about who you're working with. And obviously, look, we can talk about alignment. We can talk about personalities. We can talk about coaching staffs and managers. Reality is this: you win 90 plus games year after year, you're going to be in just a fine spot. So,
were you surprised that AJ Preller didn't even rank in the top three for executive of the year? It went to the Brewers, Matt Arnold, and I believe
right.
It was the Royals and the Guardians after that.
Yeah, I was surprised. I think the other three are did good jobs. Like, I'm not shocked that they were right there. But I thought AJ, should have been right in that conversation or won it. I mean, he did an outstanding job. When you put into context shedding nearly $100 million of payroll and then winning 93 games, and I think the moves he pulled off between the Cease trade, the Arise trade, the bullpen moves at the deadline, you know, flipping Juan Soto into Michael King and flipping that into, you know, Drew Thorpe into Dylan Cease. Yeah, look, AJ did. That was his finest work a year ago. It was. So, yeah, very deserving. I was surprised he was not at least in the top three. Now, those other guys, the Guardians on a budget, had a great year. The Royals were very active in free agency, had a really nice year. And who won it?
Matt Arnold of the Brewers.
Yeah, Brewers had a really nice year. I was surprised that AJ didn't finish at least top three.
I think all the awards are starting to come out in the next 10 days.
Next week. Yeah,
next
it starts.
Week,
well,
so
Major League Baseball.
What are they doing?
They draw this out.
I know.
Let me say something.
Oh, let me
here.
Give the floor to Sam.
Well, number one, and I've thought this forever, they draw out the awards over the course of, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, and little by little we get the awards. Keep in mind, these are voted on before the playoffs begin because they're the regular season. Yeah. Not only do they draw it out, why does it take, the World Series ended what, like a week and a half ago? Why aren't they right on it after the World Series?
I don't know why they don't do
why did they do nothing this week?
They did the executive of the year.
Well, I know they have the GM meeting, but what is that? I mean, what does that have to do with announcing awards? You can announce awards anytime.
No, you can. I get it because those guys aren't showing up.
You are putting the awards, in my opinion, more out of sight, out of mind when you're announcing them in the middle of November, weeks after the season ended.
And I believe they're only announcing on MLB Network. Like that even further limits the exposure.
I'd even be in support of, like, because there are leagues that announce this stuff before the playoffs start. Let me think. Pro Bowlers?
Oh, yeah, Pro Bowlers.
Right?
Because, yeah.
Doesn't the NBA MVP get announced before the playoffs start? I think
it
does. Or at least maybe during the playoffs, I'm not sure. But you could even announce it at the end of the regular season. It's like out of sight. Why was nothing announced this week? And it's drawn out. I mean,
And next week is kind of a weird week because the week after that is Thanksgiving. Yeah, and so people are moving and trying to get work done. They should do what, like, they're not going to have as big of an event like the NFL does, but they should do something like that where they get all the guys in a theater and
do
something.
I think they try to do with these all MLB. Have you seen those? I don't know what those really are.
The all MLB?
Yeah.
It's basically like first team All-American.
Right. And I know they have some sort of ceremony with that. Oh, look, it's all fine. Make a big deal out of everything. It creates TV events. Oh, I get it. It's so drawn out.
And then they wait to announce the actual winner until like an hour into the show.
They're trying to get you to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the CFP rankings.
Yeah. You know what? I get angry when I'm watching and you just go over the same things.
I'm okay with that. That's classic. You know, marketing.
It's like the Heisman Trophy. If I want to know, I'll come at the end of the hour and see who won. Who even cares about the Heisman anymore? All right, Sammy and Scraby, when we get back, we'll be talking more. I don't know. I'm going to talk to Sam in the break. I'm going to see what he wants to talk about.
Pickleball?
He is the sure. You know what? I want to learn about pickleball.
No, we're good. Nobody cares.
Okay, you're right.
Oh, well, maybe we will.
Back on the other side.
I'll decide because I produce.
You are
now
the producer.
Yes. Right.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Dabbing.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
5:21 here in the Odyssey Palace Studios, 97.3 The Fan. Gwen and Chris out, Sammy and Scraby in. Hope you have enjoyed this show so far. It's kind of been a little disjointed, but this is like how my brain works.
It's a Friday in November.
It is a Friday in November. We're watching Venezuelan League Baseball on the TV now.
I think it's in Miami. Teams, I'm trying to figure out, because I thought earlier there was a Dominican team playing. I'm trying to figure. This is in Miami.
It is. One of the team is the Magallanes. I said that really bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here.
Anyway, while you look that up.
International Series of Winter League Baseball. What is this? Choque de Gigantes?
Yes.
So which teams are in this? I'm trying to figure this out.
Magallanes and Leones.
One Dominican team, Dominican Winter League team, Venezuelan. Some other teams. Yeah, there's a few different leagues involved.
Lots of baseball all the time. Baseball.
But this is not the Caribbean series, which is a very, very big deal, which I think is much later in the winter.
And do any of the big time MLB players play in that? Mostly prospects.
No, I mean there are always major league guys, and it depends what teams they play with, how late they might play into the year, depending on what major league teams they're with, or if they're minor leaguers. I think the Caribbean series is, I know this is just a riveting conversation right now. The Caribbean, we're just like going over online articles, but I think it's in Mexico this year. The Caribbean series is in, because I was talking to somebody about this, it's in Mexicali.
I guess
am I right about that? Or maybe the finals in,
I'm not sure.
I think part of it's in Mexicali this year. I'll have to look into this.
You going to head over and watch some games?
I'd love to. I have to look into this.
Get 97.3 The Fan to pay your way? Do some scouting?
Sure. They want to broadcast it.
You hear, Adam? Sam wants to go to Mexicali. Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out on the fly here.
No big deal.
I think part of it is in Mexicali. At least part of it. The whole thing, maybe?
Sweet.
Yeah, very cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, no, those games are awesome. Like, when they've had it in Miami, like, it's awesome. Crowds are awesome. Be fun.
They should have one at Petco. I mean, I know I'm just throwing events out there. I know Petco's pretty busy with events and everything, but...
Yeah.
All right.
Be fun.
Here's something that we haven't talked about today. I saw a tweet this morning from Mike Rodriguez saying, according to my sources, the Mets have made an offer of over $160 million for a period of 7 years to Willy Adames. Their intention is for him to play third base. However, Adames may prefer to continue at shortstop. He has not made a decision. And so far, he also has a proposal from the Dodgers. Now, one of the things that bothers me the most is one team stealing all the good players because they're able to afford them. And if the Dodgers get Roki Sasaki from Japan, and if they get guys like Willy Adames, and they get Juan Soto, I'm going to be very upset at baseball.
So let's start with the Mets' perspective of this. And look, it's very early in the offseason, so let's see how this plays out. The Mets would be an interesting team for Adames for a couple of reasons because of the ripple effects. Number one, he would play third base where he doesn't really play because Lindor is obviously at short. That would mean to me Mark Vientos would then move to first base. It would also mean the Mets are no longer going to be the team for Pete Alonso. So that would actually mean that Vientos moves, and I think that would be the end of Pete Alonso with the Mets. So that's an interesting fit. It's also, you know, Adames has to want to play third base. I mean, he's not going to play shortstop with Lindor there. So that's an interesting kind of weird fit. But he's a good player. So I would understand if you can get him to move to third base, why you would do it and why he would do it. Look, again, we talked about the Mookie Betts thing earlier. Yeah. The idea that he would move back to the infield. He would be a great fit for the Dodgers. Take Betts out of it. Let's assume that maybe Betts would actually end up back in right field. Or play second base, even, I guess. Look, they need a shortstop. He'd be a fit there. You could see possibly, I guess, if Betts is going to play the infield, then play second base, and maybe that's the end of Gavin Lux in L.A. I don't know. But he'd be a fit. So, and look, I know nobody wants to hear this. The Dodgers would make a lot of sense. Forgetting the Betts to the infield thing, which I don't totally believe.
Yeah, we think it may be a smokescreen for something else. But what about, like... I hate complaining about salary caps or not having a salary cap in baseball, but at some point I feel like they're going to have to do something. I know that they have the CBT.
Yeah, it acts and it as kind of really, a softish.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, we're going to penalize you a little bit.
There are so many teams that don't even come close to it anyway.
You're
that
right.
Aren't going to spend like that. So it and there's no floor, right?
There's no floor. Maybe that's the answer.
Look,
having a floor.
The reality in Major League Baseball is that they have a sport right now where there are teams that spend on two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. That's the way it's set up.
Always has been.
You know, you've got teams that are barely spending any money, and you've got the Dodgers. And look, the Padres have obviously invested a lot in their team. It's the way it is right now. Look, I agree with you. I don't think it's great for the sport as a whole when you have that type of discrepancy, when you have that type of wide range of what teams are doing financially, and it has direct impact. I mean, look at the World Series this year.
Two high-priced teams.
Two extremely high-priced teams that spend a lot of money and sign players to awfully big contracts, and there are just a good handful of teams that are not going to even wade in those waters. It's how it's set up. I don't know if ultimately that's for better or worse. But look, obviously the Dodgers have money to spend. And look, it would certainly, I think, illuminate the haves and the have-nots of Major League Baseball if the Dodgers go do something crazy and give Juan Soto $600 million. Because I do think at that point, it becomes a question of, man, is this really how our game is set up?
Yeah.
Where you can have one team that can spend to this capacity, and then you have fans sitting in other cities that are just, they're not even on the same planet. Does it make it a better game? Does it make it a better sport? Is it good for the health of the game as a whole? I'm sure Dodger fans would like it, but yeah, I mean, if they go out and they sign Juan Soto, I think it, obviously those conversations happen already. I think they will only be super magnified with that kind of thing.
The one thing I think that will keep Juan Soto from coming to the West Coast is Steve Cohen and the Mets. Steve Cohen seems like he's ready to open that checkbook.
And Juan Soto, you know, I think it's been written about. I don't know if he said it directly. I think he likes being on the East Coast. It's closer to the Dominican Republic, and his family a little bit easier to. I don't know if he's come out and said that before. I know it's been written about.
Yeah, it's been written for sure,
which is fair.
I think
obviously.
Scott Boras maybe said it.
Yeah, I think the other thing here too is this. If the Dodgers, if they are a serious player for Soto and they offer him the highest bid, then I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to be an LA Dodger. I think this is going to be who offers the highest bid. If the Yankees are that team, I think he's going to go there. If the Mets are the team, I think he's going to go there.
I can't imagine being the Yankees.
I don't know. Let's say it comes down to Mets and Yankees. Know how much, you know, being a Yankee actually means to him or not. It's certainly after they got knocked out of the World Series and lost it post game, it seemed like he moved on pretty quick. To me, it seemed like a guy who is going to go to the team that gives him the most money, and he's got Scott Boras as an agent. There's nothing wrong with that. That's totally his right.
Yeah.
To me, that has been the vibe that has been put off for a while, and I think ultimately it's going to be who offers him the most.
I think it's a mistake to give him $600 million over 14 years, which is what people are saying. It's a lot of money and a lot of back-end money.
From an offensive standpoint, you are going to get, let's say, 7 to 8 or more prime years of an excellent, excellent hitter. I understand the questions about giving that kind of money to somebody who is not a great defender, is not, you know, a great base runner, doesn't have a ton of speed.
He's also very young.
He's a great hitter. So there's an argument for both. You're getting just a truly Hall of Fame level talent guy, a guy who's on that path for a long time and for a good chunk of his prime. But he's also, if you're, put it this way, if you're talking $600 million, if you are approaching the $700 that Ohtani got.
Which is crazy because Ohtani does two things.
Right. To me, yeah, I mean, Ohtani, number one, is so, so good offensively. And then you mix in the pitching part of it and the marketing part of it and the worldwide appeal. Yeah, Ohtani is a one of one. And again, I'm not trying to dodge or love here.
No, I mean, you're just stating facts.
He is an absolute one of one when it comes to what kind of contract you are willing to give him. I totally understand if teams look at it and say $50 million a year for one player that is not, I don't want to say he's one dimensional, but the one dimension he has that's amazing is awesome, but it's not like he's this, you know, super, super complete player.
But he's a Gold Glove winner.
Yeah, I mean, I thought of the postseason, it got exposed a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so
yeah,
we'll see.
You got to be able to do, you got to be able to feel, play defense a little bit.
I think a team's going to, it's going to be somewhere over 500, going to 600. I mean, some team's going to do it, and that's fine.
That's fine. They can totally do whatever they want that team.
And the reality is, to your point about the payrolls, the reality is there are, what, 2-3 teams that, if that's the number, you know, more than 2 or 3, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 teams that would even be able to consider wade into that water of paying a guy that much.
Did you hear the Rays checked in?
He's not going to the Rays.
I know, but they checked in. Well, they checked in. Yeah, they did their due diligence.
The Marlins could check in, too. Maybe the A's. Maybe Sacramento wants to check in, too.
Oh, I would love to see Juan Soto in Sacramento.
Check in too.
All right. We'll see.
It'll be interesting.
All right. We're going to head to break, Sammy and Scraby. When we get back, Russell Dorsey of Yahoo Sports, very good MLB writer. He joined us earlier in the week from the GM meetings, gave us all of the information. He even talks about his thoughts on Juan Soto as well. So stay tuned for that when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. Final segment of Sammy and Scraby, Quinn and Chris are out today. They will be back on Tuesday. Hope all of the veterans out there are doing well, and thank you so much for being there for our country. We really do appreciate it, and I don't really want to say Happy Veterans Day because I need to not be so happy, but I appreciate everyone out there for serving our country and protecting us and doing things like having a presidential election is because of you. So thank you very much for that. We are going to hear from Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports. He was on with us earlier in the week. He talked about the GM meetings. He talked about Juan Soto, the Padres, all of the above. So you will hear that right after traffic.
Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports, joins us. He's in San Antonio at the GM meetings, and he actually had a call scheduled for earlier, but he was literally in a conversation with the GM at the time, so we had to postpone it, but Russ is here now. Russ, how are you, my friend?
My guy, what's going on? How we feeling?
We are fantastic. I got to ask, right? You show up in San Antonio. It's November 5th, 6th, and I would imagine that the GMs feel like it's a little too early to see guys like you, but here you guys are. They're getting ready to have all these conversations, and here you come with your recorder. I mean, are they, is everybody in baseball mode in terms of wheeling and dealing at this point?
Well, brother, I will say this. Maybe I think it's a little too early to see them.
I know that's right.
You know, I mean, I was out in California the entire month of October. Only got a couple days at home before getting back in action, getting everybody geared up for the off season. But no, I think a lot of GMs, they, as much as they like the time off and time away, if their teams didn't advance in the postseason, they want to make sure they get their teams better for this upcoming year. So it's a fun time. I think you already feel the buzz of the off season and what free agency potentially holds and maybe some trades that are on the horizon. But, yeah, I think a lot of the executives, even agents who are here, are excited for what the next 8 to 12 weeks have in store.
Russ Dorsey, also catch him on the MLB Network. That's where I caught him yesterday, holding court. And, Russ, let's just run to the Padres because I know you don't have as much time. You know, A.J. Preller, honestly, and I don't think this is just a local view, did a hell of a job last offseason. I mean, everything he did worked, and he was able to, despite lowering payroll, you know, put together a 93-win team, the second most in franchise history. This year, I mean, who knows whether they're going to be able to increase payroll, but he has a lot of contracts that increase on their own. He also has a Joe Musgrove injury to deal with, and he has, you know, a couple of key free agents, at least in Jerkson Profar and Kyle Higashioka, and Ha-Seong Kim has already opted out. So where would you start if you were A.J. Preller?
Well, look, I agree with you that I think A.J., and I think a lot of people around baseball would agree that it might be the best job A.J.'s ever done in terms of putting together a roster with the specific set of circumstances that they had, whether it was, you know, Joe Musgrove's injury late in the year, you know, being able to bring back Jerkson Profar, putting him at the top of that lineup, getting Fernando Tatis Jr. healthy, what they were able to do with their bullpen at the trade deadline. You know, that was a team that a lot of people were afraid of going into October.
Yeah.
And I believed, talking to you guys, whoever won that series in the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Padres was going to end up winning a World Series. That did end up happening as the Dodgers defeated the Yankees. But I think when I look at what the Padres, where the Padres should start, I think it is going to be that pitching again, because you have so many of your core position players locked up for the foreseeable future. You can now start to, you know, really focus in on that pitching. And you look at Tanner Scott and what he was able to do in the back end of that bullpen. I think for me, if I'm looking at, you know, an area where you say, okay, this is how you can ensure that you once again have the best bullpen in baseball. I think Tanner Scott, even though he has pitched so well, he is going to have a lot of suitors out there on the market. That's a guy that you likely want to bring back if it's possible. And then you can never have too much starting pitching. As you guys know, you know, you're going to need more than five guys to get through an entire season and to get through the postseason, as you know the Dodgers showed. So I think pitching is where, to me, I would start if I was the San Diego Padres.
Russ Dorsey joins us here, Yahoo Sports. And Russ, you kind of hit on it as you started to answer the first question, but it does feel like, you know, typically GM meetings can go one of two ways. There could be like absolutely nothing happening, or it could be like it feels like it is so far this year, where there's some buzz, there's already some wheeling and dealing. Is that the sense that you have gotten since you've been down that way in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think the first couple of days of the offseason in the GM meetings, it's kind of feeling, everybody's feeling each other out. Teams are feeling where other teams are in terms of the trade market. Teams are feeling executives, agencies out in terms of the players that are on the free agent market. Agencies are doing the same thing with teams. What teams have spots on their roster available? What teams might be looking for? You have a lot of agencies that have multiple players on the market. So you have an agent like a Scott Boras that has a ton of clients, right, a ton of the top clients on the market, whether it's Corbin Burns or Juan Soto or Pete Alonso, all available. You might be talking to one team about five different players. So I think it's a feeling out of sorts. And for people that aren't, you know, you're more aware of the winter meetings, the GM meetings kind of sets the table for the offseason. Mm. It's where teams say, okay, these are our needs. You meet with your other members of your front office. You meet with other teams. You meet with agencies. And you say, okay, where could a fit be made, right? Like, where could we improve our roster? And you go from there. And then I would say the next couple of weeks before we get to Dallas to the winter meetings, then you're going to start seeing some of these deals come to fruition. We saw Michael Wacha already agree to a deal earlier in the week. So I think you'll start to see a little bit more action as, you know, we leave here tomorrow and head towards the winter meetings.
Russ, what do you think's going to end up happening with Juan Soto, and how much is how much for him? I mean, you know, whether it's the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, those seem to be the only three that legitimately would seem to have a shot at it. Is he going to break the bank here, or how much is he going to break the bank by?
Yeah, like, I think that's been most of the talk that I've had with people here in San Antonio has been the Juan Soto sweepstakes. I personally don't believe it gets to Shohei Ohtani levels, just because different player, different situation. But I do believe it'll be past $500 million. If I had to put a number on it, I would say somewhere between $550 and $575 million, and that would likely be stretched out over 13 or 14 years. That's a lot of money for a guy who showed that he can perform in the biggest of moments for you like he did with the Yankees. So I don't know what that team is. I think the vibe talking to people this week has been that it will likely be a head-to-head matchup between the Yankees and the New York Mets. I think the Yankees showed him, like, hey, this can all be yours, in terms of like Lion King, where Mufasa says anything the light touches is yours, Simba. That's what Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman could say to Juan Soto. But I think at the same time, the Mets actually have a real opportunity here, right? They showed a lot of Major League Baseball what they were going to be able to do going to the NLCS, Francisco Lindor, you know, being the leader of that club. And they're a team that's still on the rise. And the one trump card that they have that other teams don't have is they can pay him more than any other team in baseball because Steve Cohen is the richest owner in all of Major League Baseball. So that's a real threat. And I think the Yankees know that. And it is not going to be a walk in the park to make sure that Juan Soto returns to the Bronx.
Steve Cohen is MLB's Steve Ballmer's on our side. I mean, that's how the kind of money he's dealing with. Last one from me, Russ. And you know, there's been a lot of conversations in regards to Juan Soto and where he possibly ends up. You mentioned that number. AAV is kind of the thing that guys will turn to when they can't get max dollars. We know he's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras, at least today, seemed pretty confident. There's a lot of people who've written off Scott Boras after last year's, I would say, disappointing free agency. Some of those guys back at it again. Where do you think, in terms of Scott Boras, how do you think his winter goes. I mean, because a lot of people think he's washed now because he had a bad year last year. I'm telling you guys, I tend to see Scott Boras rise back up to the occasion quite often.
Yeah, I think last offseason was more about the players on the market, not necessarily about Scott Boras. I think Scott, as we have all talked about over the last year, maybe made some missteps.
Yeah.
But I also think this year he has, you could say, 7 of the top 12, 13 free agents that are available, right? When you can have the best position player, best overall free agent in Juan Soto available, but also having the best starting pitcher available. In Corbin Burns, right? That's a pretty good spot to be in, right? Yeah. And people can call you washed all you want, but if I have a position player that's going to get $560 million and a starting pitcher that will likely get over $300 million, I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm not really worried about what everybody else is saying about me being washed. If that's washed, a lot of people want to be washed.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he consistently gets the best players in the game, therefore, he will always be relevant. Russ, we know you got to go, man. I know you got that 3 o'clock GM conference that's about to happen. I appreciate your time, man, and we'll do it again later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Russ.
Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports.
There he is. Love Russ Dorsey. Always great to us. He came up to, Sammy came up to the loft when he was in town.
Yeah, I remember that.
The NLDS. The 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Friday for half-priced apps and $2 off all tall drafts. We got just a couple minutes left in the show, and then we'll have the Scraby Show starting at 6. But Sam, I want to ask you about your travels tomorrow. I want to know what you do on the plane. What's your go-to?
Do a little bit of everything. Break out my laptop if I have some work stuff to do. Watch the TV. Listen to music. I'm not a big, like, you know, prepare TV shows, movies to watch.
You have to kind of do that, though.
No, I'll take whatever they got. Listen to music. Nothing crazy. I'm not a huge, like, prepare for the flight guy.
Is it a direct flight to Buffalo?
No, I don't think you can get a direct flight from San Diego to Buffalo. I'm going through Detroit. 6:15 a.m. tomorrow.
6:15?
Yeah, but
so you got to be at the airport at like 4:30?
That's a long flight. I don't get into Buffalo until like 5 o'clock.
Are you a sleeper on the plane?
Oh, yeah. I'll probably sleep.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I can sleep.
Oh, you're lucky.
I got to see if I usually with long flights, I try to do the aisle. That way I can get up, walk around.
You're not going to raw dog during the flight?
No.
Do you know what that is?
I do know. I'm
about
TikTok,
the flight.
Yes.
Okay, because Chris had no idea. He didn't even know what that phrase was to begin with.
I mean, I could.
But let me explain
see
before we go ahead. Okay. Raw dog on a plane is where you go and you have zero entertainment for the entire time of the flight. Like, you're not even looking at the TV in front of you.
I could see where it would be productive to just sit with your own thoughts. I could see you having like a thinking session, maybe writing stuff down. It's a little odd just to not do anything, but
yeah, it is.
I get it. I will say this, and I always felt this way on the minor league bus rides.
Yeah.
One of the beauties I always felt about being on a plane was like it was a time where you could slow down. There's nowhere else to go.
Connect to the outside world.
You have limited activities you can partake in, whether it's watching TV or... And now you can connect to the outside world with the Wi-Fi and all that and texting and stuff
True.
Like that. But
I try not
it
to.
Is a time where you can't go anywhere else. You're at least limited to certain activities and things you can do. You're kind of with your own thoughts.
I like that. I do think that's true.
It's a time to slow down. Like the minor league bus. Oh.
You got plenty of time.
Oh, it was great. Time to sit, sleep, watch things, catch up on work. There's nowhere else to go. You're just there.
But how long
until you get to
the
destination? Could be 10, 12 hours. It was great. I love the bus.
That doesn't sound great.
No,
you
love
the bus? Did you? Because like Dave Marcus and all of them travel with the team, and Dave kind of gets, you know, shoved in the back. Did you get shoved in the back of the bus?
No. I sat towards the front.
Wow, you were that respected.
Well, the players like sitting in the back and doing their own thing back there. So typically, and I was the only non-coach or manager that went on the trips. Typically, it was coaching staff, trainers, myself up front, players.
Did you get your own room on
the
trips?
In the back.
Or did you have to share?
I had my own room. Players share though.
How?
But all coaches, awesome. Manager, yeah, get your own room.
That's awesome. That's the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah,
is you get your own room. What was the worst? I hate this.
This is
worst city.
More like worst hotels. That was the Frontier League when I first started. My first three seasons, there were some doozies of a hotel of hotels.
Like one-star roach hotels.
There were some bad ones. Well, once I got to Double A, it was, they were for the most part fine. Some better than others.
All right. Well, thank you, Sam, for coming
Absolutely.
In here, filling in. We'll
My
do
pleasure.
It again.
Hope everybody has a great weekend.
There you
Have
go.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Scraby, have a good show. Have a
thank
great
you.
Weekend.
You fly safe.
Thank you.
I like when I say that to people, even though they have no control over flying safe.
Well, let's hope it's safe.
It will
we'll
be.
We'll just leave it at
it
that.
It will be.
Okay.
All right. Have a great trip, Sam. We'll
Scraby,
talk to you on
thank
the other
you.
Side.
Bye, everybody. See ya.
Stay here. I'll be back in 5 minutes. On 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.